Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast that is actually getting results, doing things right, and fighting for justice for Sex and the City. Today with me is a hilarious woman. You might know her from Instagram, where she does these incredible impressions. One of my favorites is the girl that you meet at a party who's a little too intense. It's Hannah Pilkus.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
You know, I'm really good. I'm a true Angelino. It's like, I don't have the heat on in my apartment, so I'm wearing a beanie and a thermal, and it's like 72 degrees outside. So
it's important to be cozy.
You got to be cozy. Yep.
Freezing times.
In these times, you have to be, metaphorically cozy too. You know, even if you're not, even if you're not cold, it just feels nice to be comforted by something. Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer to have, even when it's like 80 degrees in the winter, the heat needs to also be blasting.
1,000%. And this is bad and not eco-friendly of me, but we share a car, so I feel like this cancels it out. I definitely have the fan running with the heat at the same time while I sleep. And it's probably why I get sick frequently.
That's good. Yeah. Last night I blasted the heat, turned it off. Then slept and woke up just drenched in sweat this morning. So that's also a frequent thing that happens. Yep. Like, yeah, it's very hard to regulate your body temperature.
And then you're like, I have COVID. And you're like, no, I think I just put myself in my own sweat lodge.
I slept at the covers up, to my chin and created a mini sauna.
Exactly. But cozy.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about the reboot in general? Like, where do you even stand? Let's say even take it back. Where do you stand on Sex and the City just as a woman? What's your relationship to it? Tell me everything.
Okay. So I'm born 92. So millennial, peak prime millennial, and definitely learned a lot growing up by watching Sex and the City. Watching it back now, certainly see problematic parts. As you do with many things you rewatch. I just rewatched Cruel Intentions and I was like, this has some major issues. We're going to need to do a rewrite of this. But loved it. And every couple years, just for nostalgia's sake, we'll rewatch the entire series from start to finish and live every moment as if it's my first time watching it. You're mad at Carrie, your team Carrie. You're like, okay, she's being a little narcissistic, but I get it. You empathize. And by the end, by the last season, they have me eating out of the palm of their hands. I mean, I love that last season. I had a hard time with the movies, to be honest. I feel like I kind of pretend they don't exist because there was a lot of montages, a lot of like take, toss, a lot of like changing scenes that felt like they didn't really match the world. But I would be lying if I said I wasn't really excited for it to come back purely because it feels like such a part of my foundation of growing up and learning about sexuality and fashion. And, you know, who didn't want to live in New York and live that lifestyle?
Yeah, I love that. Watching Sex and the City, for me, it was like, this is what being an adult means.
Totally.
Like a grown woman. This is what you do. You dress in like expensive clothes, go to brunch with your friends.
Exactly.
And like fuck with abandon.
Right. And you have enough money for rent and shoes. And you don't have savings. I mean, at least
and
if you're
really
Carrie.
Don't have to work that all that much.
Barely
which was
at
also
all.
A huge pro for me. Yeah. I was like, oh, I guess money just like you have money when you grow up and then right. this is how you live.
Well, yeah. It was confusing because I grew up on the Upper West Side at the same time that I was watching the show, only we had,
oh my God.
You know, like dog size rats outside our window. And I mean, it was a lovely, this was before the Upper West Side was Upper West Side. It was super rent controlled. And so I was confused how Carrie had so much space. And would talk about how she didn't cook and, you know, and use her Vogues as chairs. But from what I saw, it was far better decorated than even my current apartment. So, you know, there were some
she
questions.
She always had a certain style to yep. her. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You were full immersion.
Totally. Yep. I'm so immersion. I lived in New York.
Yeah. It's I'm glamored. Color me impressed. So for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm going to give you a little bit of the rundown. I bring a guest on. I tell them to come up with a storyline for each of the girls. It doesn't have to be super fleshed out. It can really exist on any plane of reality. And then once they have given me their kind of pitches, we take it back to the beginning and build the movie together on the podcast.
Great.
So Hannah, I'm so excited to see what you came up with, and I'm just going to toss to you and let you work your magic.
Now, do I get to include the characters that are not going to be joining us on the new season?
Yes. We're not bound by any rules on this podcast.
Okay. I love that.
We're free to be as creative and inclusive or as exclusive as we want to be.
Okay, great. So in this universe, what I imagine for Carrie is that she realizes that she's got to join NA, Narcissist Anonymous, and she has to just kind of look inward and figure out how to be a more active listener. She's just doing a real eat, pray, love soul search, if you will. She's seeing a therapist. Her inner dialogue is becoming more about the other. It's she's considering motherhood, and she's like, if I'm going to be a mother, I need to, you know, be okay with giving up even an hour of my time to someone else. So
oh, I love
Carrie does she gets on a virtual app and starts taking Lexapro, which is really good for her. She realizes that like she really just had some chemical instability going on. I mean, she's lovely, but this is just something that she realizes there was a chronic history in her family of anxiety. And she's like, this is intel. This is information. We meet her parents for the first time, and they're these kooky Long Island folks, and they're darling. They're only briefly in it to tell their medical history, and we find out, of course, that they had suffered with anxiety and depression. Okay. So Carrie kind of goes on this soul search. She does a silent retreat, and she really gains some perspective. Shortly after, she becomes pregnant with Big. She's back with Big. She's with Big, and Big has quit his fancy job because now Big realizes that he's just been giving to this Halliburton, this big corporation, you know, big brother. That's not right. And Big is, they're both really turning their lives over. They're turning a new leaf for the better. So they've downgraded. They live in like the village now. They don't live in that swanky penthouse. They actually made that affordable housing. And they're just like really giving their lives over to philanthropy. And she's going to become a mom. Wow. She's going to be a working mom. She's like, you know, she's not just writing about sex. She's writing about sex positivity. You know, she's writing about how she maybe shouldn't have like spoken to the trans community the way she did in that one episode. So Carrie's really turning a new leaf. Charlotte and Harry have a ton of kids. They've had like four or five, a gaggle of kids, because that's really all that Charlotte ever wanted, was to have a million kids. And she's back at the art gallery because that's what she really loved. And she's meant to be working. She loves to work. And on the side, she has one of those where as the mother, it's like a co-op for nannying. So when she's done with her job, she does that a couple times a week. She works at the nursery and takes care of the kids. So a lot of like working moms will, without having to pay for a nursery, they'll be the caretakers.
Okay, love.
So Charlotte has one adopted child and just a gaggle of birth children. She realizes she's incredibly fertile. Something took a turn for the better. She and Harry are madly in love. She does the co-op parenting. Samantha moved to Bali. Samantha was like, I need a break from these women. I need to like just go find my, and she opened a tantric retreat, actually.
Incredible.
Which is
so Samantha.
Which is so mm-hmm. Samantha. She's just, you know, clad in these beautiful pashminas, and she's got all like gorgeous jewelry, and she's living on the water. But what's insane is that she has not had to quit her PR job. She's so like multifaceted and she can multitask like nobody else. She'll take her calls in the morning. At this point she is a maven. She's like pushing on being a billionaire.
Self-made.
Wow. Yeah.
She's like, as long as there's Wi-Fi, anything can be accomplished.
Exactly. She has no cis men working for her. It's only LGBTQ community and female identifying people at this incredible firm that she runs now herself. And she has this tantric retreat for people to find their inner prowess so that they can rekindle to find their sexuality together. She looks even younger somehow. She's turned back time.
It's all the sex.
She's just so plump. Like her skin is just the kind of plump, gorgeous, juicy skin that just you envy 12-year-olds when you see like middle schoolers and you're mm-hmm. just poreless. So she keeps up with the girls, but I think she's established some really healthy boundaries, which is something she needed to do a long time ago. And she's a little bit older than them. And so I think at this point she's like, I kind of got to live for me, you know? Mm-hmm. She's decided that she'll never take monogamy on, but she is really interested in the poly lifestyle. So she has several partners from all parts of the world, all colors, all creeds. She doesn't discriminate. She just loves love and she loves sex. So she's living her wanderlust. You know, one of her partners has a houseboat and they just like sail together and she's just like eternally bronzed and has like a gorgeous tan line because her bathing suit is, she has like one of those like earrings that connects to a belly chain. So it's just like a very yes. long, gorgeous chain.
So much jade jewelry and like precious yeah. stones yep. and crystals.
Absolutely. A lot of amethysts. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Love.
And she's just really living her best life. And she'll probably check in with them like on like a gal Zoom wine meetup, maybe like once a month or something.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, I imagine Samantha, because I'm trying to think of like what an inciting incident is to make Carrie decide that she has to change everything.
Right.
And maybe it's Samantha confronts these women and just yeah. says, like, you all are the most toxic people I've ever met in my life.
Right.
And it's like there's a big blowout before Samantha leaves New York.
I think that's a really good point. And I think it's she's like, I need such a new slate. I need to change locations. She's like, mm-hmm. And also it sends a message like, you know, this is something Carrie thought would never happen. You know, she thought my friends will be here. My rider dies. But like something happens with like toxic squad culture as you get older where it's like, bitch, you're in your 40s and 50s. Like that doesn't fly anymore. You got to be nice now.
Yeah.
So that's mm-hmm. Definitely an inciting a point.
Okay.
So Miranda, this is very meta and this crosses over into real life. Miranda realizes the law that she's doing. She wants to get more into like civil rights law. She wants to get more into environmental law. And so she's considering she wants to run for city council. So okay. she does want to get into
Start
local
small,
office.
Build from there.
Mm-hmm. She's running for local office, which means like she's really like pushing the boundary of she's having to become more social than she's comfortable with. But in doing so has met all these like incredible like-minded people that maybe were on her frequency and all along. And she maybe wasn't inviting in the kind of friendships she wanted. So all these women mm-hmm. are still really good friends, but we start to explore them developing new ones, you know, like Miranda's got a lot of really like she connects with them on a really intellectual level. You know, she rekindles friends from college. And so she's really like of the people for the people and just like stepping into her maturity a little bit more, I think.
Okay, I love all of this. So I think I also love that these women are having kids well into their 50s. And then Carrie, yep. like Carrie's case, it's like she's like 55 and yeah. newly pregnant.
And it doesn't
so
even
that
matter.
Is just that's beautiful. Yep. I love that.
It's Sigourney Weaver in Baby Mama.
mm-hmm. yep. So I feel like Carrie, she might even realize that she's joined a cult. By the end, like she
that.
Might get sucked into something like a new age or a group of people who are eventually trying to recruit her and her spawn to like be part of their cult.
Right, because she's
it's
able
hard.
To...
It's a rocky road on the path to self-enlightenment.
Absolutely.
And
I
if
mean,
you're vulnerable,
who hasn't joined a
happen.
Cult briefly, you know, thinking that that was just a 12-step program that was going to make them mm-hmm. feel better, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's... And also, not only can she have kids, she has beautiful, healthy, like, athletic kids at 55. Yeah, there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with these kids. They're and she can keep popping them out. So they're definitely going to use that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So I feel like I could see this movie taking place like right before COVID.
Yes.
And then, or like the first part takes place right before COVID.
Yep.
And then we just fast forward like 3 years
yep.
post COVID or
love
a year
that.
Post COVID. Because
yep.
I feel like it's like we open on New York.
Yes.
Like, and obviously, as we do in this world, and maybe the ladies are at brunch or
where else
what
would
they
be?
Do? Yeah, they're
okay. They could be shopping. They could be trying out perfume scents. They could be. Mm-hmm. But I love a brunch. This place just opened up, and it's gorgeous.
And they're loving New York. We're catching up with all of them. We see Carrie is up to her old tricks. She's just writing her books now. She has a series of books.
Yep.
She's living in that penthouse and like but now moved finally to the top floor like she originally wanted and her life is just very much the same shopping writing kind of sex
rinse
shaming,
repeat yep yep
yeah judging
yep.
It's like all the ladies are getting ready to meet for lunch. It's very Devil Wears Prada opening.
Great.
And so then we see Samantha like on her Bluetooth like conducting business in the office and just being like a boss bitch.
Yes.
And then she's like, oh, I'm late. And then hangs up and gathers her Birkin and heads out the door.
Of course it's a Birkin. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We see Charlotte dropping her 6 kids off at daycare.
Yep.
And maybe she's like bidding farewell to Lily and Rose because they're a little bit older and they're going to like high school.
Right.
And then she's dropping the 4 younger ones. Maybe she got IVF and she had quadruplets.
I was going to say, I think it was just kind of like an all at once big surprise. Yep.
Yeah. So she has quadruplets.
Yep. Yep. And a uterus that is angry about it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. She's had some postpartum issues.
Absolutely.
She's really, her pelvic floor is just like obliterated. That's
she's
a
runner.
A
she got it all back pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's dropping the quads off at this daycare.
Yep.
And like wiping, you see her kind of wiping each of their face. She's very like fastidious about keeping
Trenton,
them presentable,
you know,
clean.
Central, all these kids. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like Central is a beautiful
Trenton
name for a
Central.
Child.
Central.
Maisie
and Duke.
I love it. Yeah. I like 1 girl, 3 boys.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is what she asked for. Yeah.
Or is it 4 girls? So she's
and
basically
they all have
had
fun names.
And they're all kind of like sex. They're she like gave birth to her own friend group in a way.
I love that. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I like
okay,
that.
Okay, cool. So it's like Mary, aka Carrie.
Hey, Mary Carrie. Pamantha, really?
I feel like Pamantha, I mean, we could start it and it could blow up because of this movie and become the hottest name ever.
Pamantha. If a kid can be Apple, a kid can be Pamantha.
Pamantha is beautiful.
And Pam
beautiful
for short.
Pam, yeah.
And they'll say, is your name Pamela? No, it's Pamantha, obviously.
Pamantha. Ever heard of it? And they're like, no, but I love that
But
name.
I really
Would
love
you
that
mind
ring.
If I named my kid Pamantha? And you're like, absolutely not. Go for it.
Do it. It's yours.
Mary Pam. I like also that they have kind of like Midwestern middle-aged
yes,
names.
Yes. Yeah. Because she likes to bring a little bit of the country to the city. You know, she's got that kind of classic Midwest vibe.
Yeah. Mary Pam. Miranda. What's a Miranda?
Randy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Randy and...
So does she have one that's just named after herself?
Yeah, Charlotte Jr.
Charlotte Jr., yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Charlotte Jr. has been wearing pearls since birth.
Yeah, yep. She has, yep, like, she's very classic, yes, in every way.
Absolutely.
So yep, she's dropping the girls off at daycare so they can have, like, their socialization with the other babies.
Yep.
And then she's running out to go meet up for brunch as well.
Right.
And maybe at this brunch, they all get, like, the New York Times news alerts about, like, COVID's kind of been percolating,
yes,
a little bit. Yep. But
there have been mutterings.
It's like, yeah, January 2020, like, it hasn't really hit the States, but everyone's a little bit nervous.
Right, but certainly not going to wear masks yet. Just nervous, no, and
not,
talking about
not
it.
Not in a place of masks. Nervous, yeah, talking about it, wondering, yeah, what it means for them,
yeah,
but not really thinking it's going to be that serious.
Right, right.
And so they're all, yeah, and it's like brutal winter, so we get like a lot of fur.
A lot of fur, yeah, a lot of fur, large hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a whole other chair for their purse and all the other things that they have, scar, you know, it's like such a to-do to undress.
Yeah,
for
when
the
they all arrive, they're undressing and revealing their gorgeous outfits underneath,
oh, they're
their
furs.
So it's a real fashion moment.
It's, mm-hmm, a very like Nicole Kidman undoing, a lot of long coats.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of like boots in the snow.
Absolutely.
Shots.
Boots in the snow that are not functional, but they look fantastic.
No, like you or I would slip and
eat
fall and break
instantly
a bone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
These women, no, no question about
these
it.
Women,
they're working it.
They'll run to hail a cab in these. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just on their tiptoes. How do, uh-huh, they do it? We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
So they're at brunch. They've unveiled their outfits. They're all sitting down and kind of gabbing,
yep,
about this, their lives and then this like virus that's happening.
Yep.
What are their perspectives? I feel like this could be a moment.
This
that
is
like
is maybe where the divide starts to happen.
Yeah, like we see maybe Carrie's just like, who knows, like what'll happen? I'm sure we'll be fine. Or like maybe Big and I will just go to like Mexico or something.
Right. I think Carrie's main concern is that she's not going to be able to go have Cosmos with the girls. Like the idea, mm-hmm, of restaurants closing is just like, I don't think she's really thinking about the effect it'll have on people. And I think that that's starting to become apparent, that it's maybe like a me sort of thing.
Yeah. She's like, did you guys see this like alert? And everyone's like, yeah. And she's like, what about shopping? Like, how,
right,
are we going to shop? Like, what about getting together? Like,
right.
And it is very me centric.
And she's like, but I mean, the good news is I can work remotely. I always have from my bed, you know? So, mm-hmm, at least there's that. She can write from home. But
yeah, she's like, at least I don't have an office. Like,
right.
But what's going to happen?
And the other
Vogue
women do. So she's not realizing how, mm-hmm, she's sounding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're kind of getting a little like prickly at her.
Yeah.
But
she's really had like, she's
yet
drinking during the day, which is like a little suspect already, you know?
She's
like they're all.
Two glasses of champagne.
Two glasses of champagne. She said a mimosa without the orange juice, which was, mm-hmm, okay, so that's champagne. Yeah.
Yeah. And she chugs that immediately, sets it down. She goes, another, keep them coming.
Yeah. And no one's there. But so the other table's like, I guess I'll tell a waiter that. Okay.
Yeah. She's very bossy.
Yeah.
She's like, even when she comes in, she's like, can I give you this? And it was just like another person leaving.
They're
the
like, yeah, a much shorter person. And even though she's so petite, mm-hmm, a child actually catches it with their head and they're like, sure. Yeah,
she throws her
she
coat.
Thinks they're
it
a
lands
hook
on a child.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So Carrie's kind of like, and we don't know what she's going through. That's, you know, she could be having a crisis. Maybe it's about just having had a kid that late in life, you know?
Yeah, she's had, I feel like even she hasn't had her kid yet.
Okay.
Maybe like her kid is part of her like grand awakening.
Got it. This is kind of, like, she's in a reckless place.
Yeah, and she could even be like, oh, well, thank God I don't have, like, kids to worry about. Like, they can be reading off these news alerts and be like, well, they just had cases in the UK. Like, maybe London is, like,
yeah,
locked down.
Yeah.
And, like, Charlotte's like, I don't know what I'm going to do if I can't take the quads to daycare.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like, oh, thank God.
Apple and vinegar Montessori school, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
what is she going to do?
Yeah. And so, and then Carrie also is like leaving the table every once in a while to smoke. She's fully like smoking a pack a day again.
And she's pissed that she can't smoke inside. And they have to remind her, mm-hmm, I mean, it's been decades that this has been outlawed. And in fact,
yeah,
and even in the outside, they say, sorry, you have to take it to the street. So she's all the way out on the, you know, way on the sidewalk, pissed off, smoking. All and you said it's so cold so you can see her breath and she's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just very rude to everyone around her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all the other women are kind of, they're worrying about their lives. She's very oblivious.
Right.
And then maybe Samantha is like, well, I'm nervous because, as you all know, I've been through chemo and right. I'm hearing that
this I'm in a vulnerable community. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I will do right. if I have to be just alone with no one.
Right. Mm-hmm. And her job is PR and there won't be events. So she'll be mm-hmm. without a job and at risk.
Yeah, she's very nervous. Maybe she also got just like she raised another round of money for her business or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And so now she's either indebted to investors or like a lot is riding on her company like taking it to the next level.
And if it does, it's going to be huge. But this is that in-between time where it could all implode. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's like, I could lose everything. And Carrie's like, you'll be fine, sweetie. I got to go smoke.
And Carrie's like just find a guy. And you know, that's not what Samantha's going to do. That's not her. No. That's not her spine line.
Mm-mm. And so Carrie goes outside to like smoke her cigarette. Yeah. And I guess all the girls have a moment where they're like, are we going to talk about this?
Yeah.
And then they talk shit about her behind her back.
They have a really long moment where they don't talk and it's just eyes. And you just focus on eyes looking across the table. And we know what they mean. And, and you know, Charlotte's eyes say, she's acting weird, isn't she? And then, you know, Samantha's eyes are, we need to talk to her. And then they and then they do make a plan. Yeah.
Yeah, they're maybe like, are we gonna, they're like, are we gonna say something? And then they're like, maybe we'll just lightly mention the drinking or something like that.
Right, not full on intervention. She won't take that well. But yeah, just like a loving nudge in the other direction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So maybe Carrie comes back in reeking of cigarette smoke.
Oh,
and like Charlotte is kind of like, ew.
Yeah.
And they
Charlotte's got a like, sensitive respiratory tract too.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then like a waiter comes and Carrie orders another drink.
Yep. Yep.
But this time maybe it's a martini.
Yes. Yeah. And it's again, it's still 11:15. So and it's a Wednesday. You know, there's
it's early in the day.
It's early in the day. She gets a martini with a twist. And the other women are like, well, they have to get back to work soon, you know? I mean, this is I know that we don't see them working often, but this has been a 2.5 hour brunch now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they have to talk to her.
And maybe Samantha's like, sweetie, should you be really drinking like that? Like, middle of the day. And Carrie's like, gets really prickly.
Extremely defensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry.
I think I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever I want.
I thought this was New York. You know, she's always using that and it doesn't work for everything. Do you know what I mean?
It absolutely doesn't.
You can't
but that's
just
her excuse for anything anyone says to her when they disagree
when
with her.
Shoplifted. I'm sorry. I thought this was New York. Okay.
Please. Yeah. No, honey. It's not. It's not.
It's not how it works. Right.
So Carrie gets she gets angry.
Yeah.
And then I think she lashes out at all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so too. And she says, you know what?
I think it's like a booze and booze fueled. And also, you know, that feeling, nobody likes that feeling of being cornered when you're outnumbered and like three people are cornering you. I mean, I get defensive when one person confronts me, let alone three of my closest friends. I would feel like they had planned this, like if it was premeditated. So she does not handle that well.
And Carrie says all of that, what you just said to them. And she's like, you know, I need a break from you guys. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you all have, like, maybe you have an office to go back to. I don't have to do anything. Like, I'm a free woman.
Yep.
I can do whatever I want. And
now she's saying this, she's knocking things. I can do whatever I want. She's got so many accessories. She's knocking the sugar off the table. And she's making a little bit of a scene.
She's making a total scene.
Yeah.
And even Charlotte or Miranda are like, calm down. Like, you just sit down. Like, take a load off. We didn't mean anything by it. It's just truly concern.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I don't need your concern.
Yeah, fuck you. Because she really can hit the fuck hard. Yeah, fuck you and guys.
Absolutely. And she flips out,
grabs
her stuff, and then just storms out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely shocking. No one saw this coming.
And
not
Charlotte
even the
just
audience.
Says, I guess we'll take the check. You know, and she's just very small. And it's scary. Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah. And maybe we see Carrie kind of running through these winter streets.
Yeah.
And she's drunk and kind of confused.
Yep. And she's projecting a little bit. Like, she runs into the middle of traffic and a cab mm-hmm. comes and you know, almost hits her. And she slams the hood and goes, fuck you. And it's like, well, you know, it was don't walk, you know. But and yeah. she goes, I thought we were in New York. And she keep and she's yelling that at everyone, you know. And we are in New York. But and he goes, watch where you're walking. And it's this whole thing.
Yeah, get your shit together, Bradshaw.
Right.
And maybe she even runs, like, and her boot gets caught in a grate.
In a grate. Yes. Wedding planner vibes. Love this. Yep.
And she falls.
Yep.
And breaks a bone or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A bone that makes it impossible to wear shoes. I would say maybe it's a foot. So she has to wear one of those ugly boots.
Yeah, I think she breaks her foot and possibly like a collarbone.
Love
so
that.
She's like yep. in a sling and a boot. And it this becomes like a wake up call for her.
Yep. yep.
Like she lands herself maybe in the hospital because of this.
Yeah. And the girls do come. They come to visit her, but it's quiet. I mean, and it's tense. It's tense between all of them. And it's like Carrie's not willing to apologize yet. They're not going to apologize. Certainly not. So I think it is starting to hit her like, oh, I'm going to lose them. You know, like they're going to become acquaintances, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, Carrie's like right. can someone help with the medical bills? And that's not their job anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they say no. And Samantha says, no, I have to, COVID's coming and I got to hold on to every dime I have.
Yeah. And they say like, this might be the last time that we see each other for a while.
Yeah.
And like, I hope everything works out for you. The stock market, I think that day is the day the stock market takes like a huge plunge.
Huge plunge, yeah.
So Big's whole job.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Like
Big's in jeopardy.
Is completely fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. And Carrie's just kind of sitting there hooked up to all these monitors. And they say their piece. And then the girls are like, Lenox Hill, what's near here? Oh, there's a great tapas. And they leave. They leave to go have mm-hmm. brunch, the three of them, to go have lunch,
you know,
near Lenox Hill.
Maybe the stock market plunges and Big is, he like had put all his money, like his retirement, staked
everything
into stocks. He loses it all.
Yep.
And as Carrie's in the hospital, he kills himself.
So Big kills himself.
Big.
Because if yeah, he can't Big, provide, so- he doesn't feel like it's worth living.
Money is life to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's medical bills are mounting.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and Big had a lot of secrets that are then now left to Carrie. I mean, not, obviously he was in stocks, but there was also some insider trading happening. And I think the stocks plunged. Everything was coming to a head. He knew he was going to get found out. Their house was going to be seized. All of their, you know, what's it called when they like recall, they take all the furniture back because you owe.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that's about to happen. And that's, he's no longer sexy if he doesn't have any of those things. So, yeah.
No. And he doesn't want to live through that. And I think we get a really gritty scene
yeah.
in like a Wall Street office with just chaos and everyone yeah. freaking out.
Yeah.
And it's very kind of like muted grays.
I love that.
And he's going through paperwork
yeah.
and crunching the numbers.
And it's
just
not looking
realizing.
Good. Yep.
Yeah. So he heads to the roof
yep.
in just the February snow.
Oh, it's, yeah, and hail, it's, blistery winds, yep.
Yeah, and you just see him walk off.
He
it's
walks off.
It's very dark.
And just like in Shawshank, it says Big was here. There's like a little note that was carved into the floor
yeah.
of the roof. Yeah.
He takes a little, like, pocket knife.
He's a pocket knife, yeah. Hugo mm-hmm. Boss. I mean, again, he dies in class.
It's
He's got
gorgeous.
A beautiful
yeah.
suit. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a big, so it's a lot of loss at once.
A lot of loss. So Carrie has truly lost
everything.
And then COVID hits.
Yep.
And we see her. I mean, she's just like, maybe we get like a montage at
Definitely.
That point of just like news stuff being
yeah.
like COVID-19 has hit the States and like shots of like the empty streets of New York and
Definitely.
Los Angeles and London and Paris.
And we have like, you know, like it's really sentimental commercials that end up being for like Hyundai, you know, that are like
mm-hmm.
like, times are tough. You're a derelict. That's why you have a 0% APR financing on a Hyundai. So, and so Carrie's, and it's all just like, she's saturated with this, right? Inundated with it.
Maybe we open and it says like 6 months, or it says like 1 year later.
Yes.
And she, we hear her kind of talking and you think it's a voiceover, but she's in a meeting.
Right. You see, so it's shot from behind and she, and it says like, I couldn't help but wonder. And you're like, well, mm-hmm. of course that's, yeah. and it's her sharing in a group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And it, and maybe it's AA.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's talking about like just really having like a come to Jesus moment with herself.
I love that.
So this is like, at this point, I guess we're in like late 2021, potentially early 2022.
Right, right. And she's sober and she's mm-hmm. got her chip. How much time
she's
does
she celebrating have? A year.
She's celebrating a
Maybe
year.
Maybe she's, yeah, celebrating a year and a half or yep. something like that.
Yep. And she's okay, actually,
I guess 2 years if it would be, but we'll just say it's like 2 years later.
Wow. Yeah. So she's really
huge time jump.
Huge time. Yeah. This production, there's so much to fill in. We had to jump 2 years. Just mm-hmm. like, what's that? What did I just watch that? Oh, in a teacher in the last episode, they're like 10 years later. And you're like, oh, okay. That's fine.
Love that.
Let him be 30 now.
You can do that now.
You yeah. can absolutely do that now. So yeah, so she's, and she has a commitment at the meeting. She's like the timer. This is, and these are her people, you know, they're all drinking mm-hmm. kind of shitty coffee after. But she's, there's she's different. Something different about
yeah.
her.
Yeah. She definitely is not like the clothes have changed.
Yes.
I mean, she truly lost everything.
Yeah. Yep.
And she talks about that. And yep. then now she like lives, you know, in a very humble apartment.
Yep. Yep.
And has been kind of trying to pick up the pieces and like put her life back together.
Yep.
But maybe she also talks about just like, there's no, like, my life has no meaning. Like, I look for it and I'm glad to be sober, but it's really hard to like find joy in the day to day.
Yeah. Especially yeah. when so much of her identity in her life was material things and her kind of codependent relationships with her friends. So mm-hmm. she's like, I've kind of had to like rewrite my narrative, you know, and like, she's like, I feel like I like dumped a lot of my problems on other people and I don't know who to, you know, now she takes it to the meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe like we cut from Carrie to yeah. Miranda. And so yeah. we're doing kind of like a catch up of like all
that.
2 years later, where are these women now? And Miranda yeah. is like, she's in an office. It's kind of bare bones, but she's still like delegating. Yep. And then her assistant comes in
yep.
and is briefing her on what needs to happen for her city council run.
Right. Right. Yep. And she has, and we know that she's running because everyone's wearing, you know, Miranda for city council pins. And mm-hmm. she has sort of a politician suit on, if you will. You know, yeah. it's either a red or a blue and it's crisp and tailored and there's shoulder pads and yeah, she's been there all night. I mean, this is a long campaign. Mm-hmm. She and there's takeout around because she's just been, again, always a workaholic.
Totally. And I think we even see like maybe Brady is working on her campaign too.
So I love
he
that.
Comes in
yep.
and he's like, he gives her like a file or something like
that's
that
great.
But we see and he's like, mom, like don't get he gives her like some vitamins to take or something.
And how old would Brady be now?
I guess he would be like, so he was a toddler in 2004 yeah. 2000 and so he'd be probably
so like 20s.
18
eight okay so yeah, he's hot
early 20s
he's really yeah. hot he's like
mm-hmm.
he could be a politician eventually too. There's like, he's just like very charismatic, that like gorgeous red hair, and he's just very mm-hmm. striking. I just think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important for him to be sexy.
Yeah, yeah, he's gorgeous.
So Brady comes in. We get that moment between them.
Yep.
Maybe. I feel like Steve's not, for some reason, I go to like, Steve's not in it. Maybe they lost him due to COVID, and that's how they're like picking up the pieces and like
what kind of shifted them. Because I think he was still a bartender. I think that, you know, he was running Scout, and because bars were really late to close, he got COVID because he, and even during COVID, he wasn't telling Miranda that he was keeping the bar open. You know, those like prohibition style bars that stayed open, and he ended up getting sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we also lost Steve. So all the all the men in this are just dying off.
They're dying off. Yeah. And it's women having to just like pick up the pieces and really reevaluate their lives.
Yes.
And like this has brought Miranda and Brady like closer together than ever. Like obviously they work together now, but like it's strengthened their relationship.
Absolutely. They have a really unshakable bond. And you know, she might not have been great with babies, but she's great with adults. So they have kind of this like new relationship that they're like getting to discover in real time together. That's like, you know, he's a young man now, and he's the man of the family, you know?
Yeah.
Steve's gone.
Totally. Yeah. Then I think actually we do have one man, maybe Harry survived because he, like,
we love Harry.
Charlotte kept him. Yeah. She kept him in the house, like would not let him leave.
Right.
Like, and they just like hunkered down on the Upper East Side. And like Charlotte was wiping down grocery. Like she went immediately, I think, from brunch into hiding, like picked the quads up.
Yep.
Basically,
well, luckily they have another apartment. If she ever goes to brunch, she can quarantine on her own in a neighboring apartment that they bought just for COVID so that they could all do that when they needed to.
Well, and they probably had to expand their living spaces now that they had six children.
Absolutely.
So
so they bought the building.
It makes sense that they had a lot of real estate.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. Yep.
So, or maybe did they move to like the Hamptons?
Okay.
And just like relocate out there? And that's kind of where
she takes the jitney in when she, and she rents out a jitney, just her own, just one driver and her in a jitney to go see her girlfriends. Yes. I think that they're probably in West Hampton now. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe that's where this nanny thing and like the child care, like she started, she started the co-op child care with her community of moms.
Yep.
And she's very like, maybe she's even like mommy blogging and kind of started because like art galleries had to close.
I think she's doing like a keto mommy blog that's like telling about how like kids can have alternative sweets with like monk fruit and things like that. And yeah, and this co-op is all like, yeah, sustainable foods and alternative learning. But there is like a, and it's a big nod to art because she loves art history, you know? So she teaches these little kids about like they have this like incredible knowledge of art at this really, really young age. They're these like really well-versed worldly kids.
My God, I'm like ready to move there and have 1,000% kids so they can join her
baby curators
art collective. And she's like donated all her and Harry's artwork to that space. So it's just like you go out in the lawn and there are beautiful sculptures, et cetera.
Right. And when they have like physical activity, when they have like their gym class, it's just like, okay, let's all run on the beach, you know, like let's all get our surfboards on. So it's just like they're living the life.
Yeah, and she it's like very beautiful and even like pastoral. And it's so it's 180 from like her kind of stuffier Upper East Side existence.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
And then we cut to Samantha.
Yeah.
And we see her potentially, I mean, she's in Bali at this point.
Yes.
She could be like teaching a yoga class or like we see her like in Downward Dog. So it's just like the first shot is like on her ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, a beautiful like upward dog.
Yep. She's in the nude. She looks exquisite. She's kind of like almost in this sort of like very primal pose. Exactly. And then you think it's just her because like kind of the way the shot is very intimate. And then when it expands, it's like there's like hundreds of people watching. Hundreds of naked yoga goers with her.
Yeah. It's a nude. It's part of like the nude retreat.
Yep.
That
yep.
she it's, runs.
It's nude. It's getting comfortable with your body. And yeah, she's thriving.
And like as the yoga class finishes, like we see all these different types of people coming up to her. Yep. And they're like, thank you so much. Like you saved our relationship.
Right. Right. We have like a Maharaja comes up and he's like, thank you. And then we have exactly a couple that hadn't had sex in years. Thank you. Thank you. A newlywed couple that had waited, that had abstained. Thank you. We thought it wasn't going to work out for us. So yeah, she's revered, loved.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe we see her just like draped in like a kind of sheer robe.
Love.
And she's like walking around her palatial Bali mansion.
Yep.
Rolling calls.
Cascading and, like, linens behind her. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Just blowing in the breeze with like huge banana palm leaves.
Absolutely.
Like it's so lush and green.
Yep.
And like she's doing her PR stuff. And then like a hot guy comes in and is like, they make out. And like, and then maybe another hot guy comes in.
Yeah.
And then we know that she's going to have a threesome.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think she's like finally come to a place where she's comfortable and under, like, knowing she's not monogamous. And everyone there just like, it's not culty somehow. They all just worship her and like the female form. And like a lot of her preachings are about appreciating the female body and like our form as it is, and that love is love. And so, yeah, she's just really, she's got like multiple partners, but she doesn't really owe them anything. It's more that they sort of like, are there for her, you know, they're committed to her, but she's just like sort of like this like wanderlust spirit.
Yeah. There's a woman that I'm obsessed with and who lives in Bali, and her name's Kim Anami, and she preaches all about vaginal kung fu is her thing. So she basically believes that like you can change your life by like getting your vagina in gear. And like you can like beat wrinkles by having like a powerful vagina. And like she's really just like, she like moves furniture with her vagina.
Wow. She's like the Matilda with her vagina.
She has like an incredibly strong vagina. Yeah.
That's incredible. And also sounds like
is kind of like the tip that Samantha's on in one way or another.
I think so. I think she's been heavily inspired by her, and maybe she's like in an apprenticeship, like she's learning now the power of her own vagina while she's doing these teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. Because presumably she's an incredibly strong vagina herself.
Oh, absolutely. Like powerful.
Yeah.
Like we see her even like doing exercises. Like this woman, Kim, well, like it's like she has a jade egg in her vagina, but it'll have like a string on it. And then she'll like lift things. That's how she like lifts things. So like she like will do Instagram photos of her like holding a surfboard like the jade egg and the string.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole vibe.
Wow. Good for her. Man, I certainly couldn't do that. I couldn't hold a piece of paper.
No, I don't think so.
So, yeah, so Samantha is really, like, in her divine light, her divine power, and just she's, like, really being appreciated and seen and, like, not shamed in any way, which I think, like, is, you know, like, she loved the New York lifestyle, but she was really tired of dealing with these, like, sexist pigs, and it's, like, to rewrite her narrative and have her be the head bitch in charge, like, she's loving it.
Yeah, maybe she just had a book come out that was, like, she, like, a memoir where she told her entire life story and like how she kind of facilitated this change.
Yes.
And in it, she talks about the toxic female friendships that she had prior, and specifically talks about a woman that like she never names Carrie, but it is Carrie.
It is Carrie. It is, absolutely.
And there are chapters and chapters about this like awful person that just like made her life hell and like, how she like really had to reevaluate like the friendship and how it made her feel. And so that book has also like just been released.
Yes. Yes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So she's really like peaking. Like she's and she's and also it's interesting because she, I feel like so much of the series was her kind of championing Carrie and helping her with the PR stuff for her book. And it's all sort of like flipping now, you know, where it's like all eyes on Samantha a little bit, you know?
And you know what? I think this will really get Kim Cattrall interested and want to be.
I think so too. Yeah.
If we can get a little meta with it and give her the chance to kind of air out SJP in the movie form. Yeah. Then it's like.
Well, and so much of it takes place in Bali too. She's not even going to really have to see much of SJP.
Absolutely. So it's a win-win for Kim.
Absolutely. Yep.
So maybe it, and maybe even we see Samantha, like, instead of rolling calls, like, she's actually doing like a televised interview with like Good Morning America or something. Yes. And she's talking about her book, and they're like, what's her book title?
Me and My Underneath, or like Me.
Underneath Me.
Underneath Me. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I like that too, because that's kind of sexy.
Underneath Me.
Underneath Me by Samantha Jones.
Oh, I would read the shit out of that.
Same. It's a New York Times bestseller, number one, on top of the charts everywhere. And we cut back to New York, and it's just like in every window of every bookstore, like all the TVs, like Times Square has a ad for Underneath Me by Samantha Jones.
Yep. And it's really exciting too, because she's probably almost 60 at this point and is like,
and is in her 60s.
In her 60s and doesn't look it, but is this voice for that generation. Like, you know, she's for the this, you know, this second coming, this second coming, if you will, this new sexual awakening for that age group as well. She just like defies she defies age. She just exists. She is just this being.
Mm-hmm. She's just energy, pure energy.
Yep.
So Samantha, like, I think also now Carrie is haunted. We're back in New York. We're seeing her haunted by this book. Like,
totally. There's a lot of like ugly feelings coming up.
Mm-hmm. She's reading like a chat. She's reading it, and maybe in her humble apartment, and she's really confronted with the worst version of herself. Which, even though she's been in recovery and stuff, like, I think that there's a lot of stuff that she still hasn't processed.
Totally. Yep. And when she tried to make amends with the Samantha declined. So she's also had to sit with sort of being ghosted by Samantha and sitting with her feelings and what damage she's caused.
Yeah. And maybe we even see like Samantha is still in touch with the other women like over Zoom, but Carrie is not like part of their group anymore.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And Carrie's reading this book and realizing like how her friends truly felt about her this entire time. Because, of course, Samantha like is talking about her dear friends like Charlotte and Miranda and how they processed this like toxic, selfish person.
It's very clear who it is. Right. And also like she uses a surname that's like very close. It's like Mary. You know, she's like this person in my life, Mary Tadsaw. You know, it's like very on the nose. So there's just no one's left to wonder.
No, and Carrie is, I think, ashamed, and maybe she even, like, relapses briefly in that moment.
I think she has a bender. I think what the catalyst for it, too, is, do you remember the episode where the SNL talent coordinator sees
Nina.
Her? So she runs into Nina, and if you think it was bad before, Nina sees her, and she goes, Carrie! and
saw the book.
Saw the book. Yeah. So Carrie makes a beeline for, and not even a nice bar. She goes to like, she gets like picklebacks at a shitty bar somewhere that she can be at, like, just anonymity. And she gets just sloshed, bender.
Yeah. And maybe even someone at that bar, like a younger girl or something, is like, are you Carrie Bradshaw?
Yep.
And she gets recognized and she's just like, she's just so ashamed. And that night she decides like, we just see her. It's very dark. She's drunk and, like, sad.
Yep.
And
pulling curtains
out.
Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Face down in the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next morning, she wakes up and decides, like, I have to change everything.
So we see a big montage of, like, collecting bottles. We hear, like, the clinking. And then there's, like, a lot of trips to the recycle because there's a lot of bottles to throw away. And, she's, like, it's, like, and something's different, you know? And she's even going through her closet. She's donating stuff. She's donating shoes. She's Marie Kondoing her space.
Oh my God, maybe.
Okay.
Part of Samantha's book has like a how to change your life. So Carrie decides to follow Samantha's book.
If you can't beat them, join them. Yes. She's like, okay, well, clearly she's doing something right. And so, she
misses her friend. She wants to like reconnect. Like ultimately, she just wants to be able to reconnect with them. But she knows that like she can't keep living the same way she's been living.
And it's almost like initially when she decides to do it Samantha's way, it's like, well, maybe this will be like common ground that I can share and will like help me reconnect. But along the way, it's not about that anymore. It's just about this like self-actualization and she's actually really growing.
Yeah. And healing.
Yeah.
So it's like step one is like Samantha's all about like no more booze. Yes. So Carrie cuts it all out. She's carrying, throws the bottles away.
Yeah. She goes to like Quench. She gets like a month long, like juice, a lot of like greens delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like step two, learn to like prepare, like be able to prepare food for yourself.
She's meal prepping. Yep.
So we have to see Carrie like try. We get a really comedic like scenes of Carrie trying to cook.
And there's just like Ratatouille, all these little mice living in her cupboards because she's never like opened her flour jar, you know? And
oh yeah. I think even like when she wakes up out of her bender, she wakes up similarly to that time that she had a mouse in her apartment and it was in her hair.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot, way more mice.
And she has the classic
hair.
Carrie like... You know, like that scream that she does. She has like a lot of like squealing and, but nevertheless, she persists. She like comes back, you know, she's like, okay. And by the end of it, right? Like, you know, she's burnt a couple of things. And by the end, you see her like, she's got the Tupperware. She's putting in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So she really has starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she's like, yeah, we see her like with some kale and like quinoa and she's really like firing on all cylinders.
And you're seeing her wear the same outfit multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because part of it, Samantha's program, the Underneath Me program, is to really cull your closet. Like clothes are not as important as the person who wears them.
So Samantha's had like a real like awakening as well in this time.
A huge awakening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's still like very glamorous and stuff, but she's like glamorous, but grounded.
And also like not identified by the things in her closet. Like she's so transient now, you know, she can pick up and be whisked to Bali and it's like she still has everything she needs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's just one of those people that like she probably does have a lot of clothes, but like you would never really know. Like it's just kind of all so everything's so flowy. You can't
tell. It's all like flowing ponchos. Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Caftans, et cetera.
Yes, totally. A lot of caftans. So Carrie, so step two was, or step three, meal prep was one of the steps. She's getting acquainted with her kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's throwing away the like stacks of delivery. She's like, I can't anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. And maybe even parting way with some of her most cherished Vogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magazines. Yeah.
Yep. She chooses her favorites. Yeah.
And gets rid of the rest.
Yeah. Or, you know, and step three might even be like, will into the world what you want. So maybe we see her with the remaining Vogue. She's cutting through them. She's vision boarding and she's saying, okay, you know, abundance or like travel. And so we see her and she's just, you know, we've never seen Carrie craft before.
Never.
You know? So she's put the Mac aside and she's really doing the hands-on like boots on the ground work.
Yeah. And I think that she would make a gorgeous vision board because she has such an encyclopedic knowledge and like access to old Vogue. So it's like,
it's stunning. It's the color board. Blocking is exquisite. And of course it's still like fashion leaning. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. Not even a board. It's a whole wall.
She's
of her
pasting.
Apartment.
She's using Elmer's glue and she's pasting on her wall because this is a whole life transformation at this point. Yep.
And maybe she's even pitched her editor at Vogue for a new column idea where she's like, I'm going to follow the Samantha Underneath Me program and write about it.
Yep.
And write about my relationship. And this is how she can get back. Like, eventually reconnect with Samantha because she would have to eventually like interview her.
So this is all part of her story. Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Edith, her old boss, is still her boss. And she's like, okay,
absolutely.
Okay, and find me a man.
You know? Yeah, she'll never quit that job. She'll work until she's dead.
Well, because
yeah.
she makes a lot of money per word there. So she better hold on to that. Mm-hmm. And Vogue's very interested in an expose about the two of them because they were very like, they're still in the public eye and the zeitgeist and anything yeah. with self-help
and maybe
too.
Carrie, she writes a mea culpa of like, yeah. I was the toxic friend and outs herself as
yes. And that's the headline. Kind of like how to lose a guy in 10 days vibes. It's like, it was me. I was the problem, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that goes viral. And based on the success of that viral piece, she now has been tasked with like, how, like the next step is like, how will these friends get back together?
Right. Which is a big risk because it's, who knows?
If, will they? Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So Carrie then, I guess maybe we cut back to like Miranda.
Yes.
And Charlotte. Like they have read, maybe they're on a Zoom with Samantha yeah. and they're like, oh my God, like,
you'll
did you
never
read?
Guess.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Should we say anything to her? Blah, blah, blah. And they're all kind of talking about it. And they're like, Samantha's like, well, we'll see. I mean, I don't have much faith in her.
Right. She's like, you know, carry and follow through aren't two words you hear in the same sentence, you know, or whatever. And so they're not holding their breath at this point.
Yeah. They're like, she's like also classic Carrie, like making this book about her.
Exactly. Like, oh, taking it to the press, like way to look within. Little do we know, Carrie really is doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we get back to Carrie and maybe she is like... Is she going to fly to Bali? Is she going to do a silent retreat?
At this point, I think she might like get rid of her apartment even. Like, I feel like she's mm-hmm. like, I don't want to be attached to anything. I think like maybe the next step is like, look at your environment and like make sure it matches you. And she's like, you know, walking through this apartment and she's like, I don't feel anything here anymore. Like, these are all old memories, you know? She also like lived through COVID in that apartment. So she's like, I could use a change of scenery, but she doesn't know where she wants to go. So she just like gets rid of it. And like, is just like, you just like see her with like a couple bags standing on the street and it's like, what's she going to do? You know?
Yeah. And where will she go next?
Right. If any, yeah. So I think then does she go to Bali immediately? That's a good question. Does she feel, I think
maybe
she might go on a retreat.
She goes on a retreat. And we see her really struggling on a silent retreat.
Yeah, it's really hard not to. And she's like, you know, asking for the bar. She's doing a lot of like pantomiming, looking for things. And she almost gets kicked out a couple of times.
Yeah.
And her phone keeps ringing.
Contact with other people. Yeah, yeah, it's very, she has a really tough time.
This isn't some seamless transition over to like, you know, to enlightenment. There's some hiccups along the way and we need to see that. And there's a lot of comedic relief in this, you know, and she's like, you know, she's wanting to, because even if she's not drinking, she likes her mocktails. So she's still having to like abandon some of those. She likes the lifestyle of it all. And this
yeah,
is asking
and she,
her to
and
be
wants
minimal.
Salt for her food too. So it's
right.
like, it's like, she's like,
right.
Like, and everyone is really admonishing her. And I think there's like a moment, a one-on-one moment with her and like the head of the retreat
yeah.
where they do break silence and they say like, you're this close to getting kicked out of here, Miss Bradshaw. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You're breaking a lot of rules. You're making this very much about you. And like, I really would think about how selfish you're being in this moment. And that,
and like
strikes
she hears
her.
The word and it's like selfish. And then it like selfish, keeps selfish, echoing. It's selfish. Weird. It's like, are we switching genres a little bit? But we're not. We're still in that universe. And she.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we hear Samantha's voice in that moment. Like it goes selfish, selfish, selfish. And it goes, my most selfish friend. And like.
Totally. And then we hear Charlotte like, yeah, she again. Never really yeah. was there for me. You know, and you're hearing all the overlaps of all the different, you know, and then Brady is just kind of in there too for some reason. And he's like, Mom, your yeah. paperwork's ready. Just a couple other things to sort of like include in the universe. But yeah, I think this is her second like coming to.
Yeah. And they're like, you have one more chance. I hope you can get it right.
Yep.
So she goes back and really hunkers down and is meditating. And we see kind of like, there's just something different in like her face and like the way she carries herself.
Right. She's helping others. She's like holding doors. She's helping cook. She's without there any gain on the other side. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not a meet cute. Everything's not this, like, you know, she realizes how much she rested on this, like, witty repartee between people, you know, because she's really great at that. The, like, back and forth, the bouncy, but she's realizing, like, what else is there, you know?
Yeah. And the puns. Like, I think even you see a moment with her and the head of the retreat where Carrie's, like, trying to make a pun.
And, she's like, I don't care.
No. Please stop.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
And she goes, it's not cute. She says, it's not cute. And that really hits her.
Poor Carrie. I know. She really is going through it.
What's interesting is I love Carrie's character. This is just where it took me, is that I just wanted her to have a little bit of a wake-up call.
It had to happen sooner or later. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was inevitable.
Yeah, I think the older you get, like, the less patience your friends are going to have for that shit, you know?
Absolutely. So... So we see her kind of finish the retreat and graduation happens.
It's like a beautiful scene and everyone's like, you know, like
a ceremony.
Holding her they're holding her cheeks in their hands and she's saying bye to everyone. Somehow she's befriended everyone at the retreat by the end. You know how so quickly all it takes is one scene and suddenly she's, you know, hot girl on campus. So, and we see that she's learned some lessons.
She has.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like a cute guy that was at the retreat and they like connect.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that she made eye contact with like early on.
Yes.
I imagine that it's played by like Jared Leto or something.
I love that. Yeah. Cause he's got this very intense, a lot can be said with just eyes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has great eyes and like they have definitely had like some sort of attraction to each other. So definitely. As they're both leaving, he's like, where are you off to next?
It's the first time she's heard his voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, actually, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to Bali or he's going to like somewhere Bali adjacent.
It's revealed that he actually is like really well off. Like he does these retreats to sort of like ground himself, but he has a plane and he was going to head to Bali anyway. And you know what? Maybe Carrie doesn't even know that Samantha's in Bali at that point. Maybe she's going with him just to be like, sure, why not? I'm throwing caution to the wind. I'm going to say yes to new experiences and like, yes, I'll go with you.
Yeah, and part of her journey at the retreat is like just trust that the universe will take you where it needs to go. Like stop forcing things. Like stop trying to make things happen. Like things will just be.
And so
that's part of it.
Sure enough, there she goes. She boards this plane and they have like kind of like that fun, you know, 50 Shades where it's like, what are you waiting for? And they're like in the plane. It's like, love me like you do. And but what's amazing is they're maybe connecting as friends. It might actually not be a romantic connection. It's unclear, which is like kind of very new, you know? Usually it's pretty 0 to 100, but this seems like we're not sure what it is yet.
I think both of them are in that space where they're like, you know, they talk very frankly about their past relationships and sexual experiences.
Yeah.
And they're both like, you know what? Maybe we can just be.
1,000%.
And she's like, I love that.
Yeah.
And you see the plane like flying into the sunset.
And you see her and she is cute when she goes, I love that. And there is kind of like a cute, we see signature Carrie there and it is really charming. But it's just sort of stripped of all the other stuff, which is really nice. So yeah, they land in this like gorgeous, lush, beautiful, you see this bungalow, you see the crystal blue water.
It's stunning. And they're whisked off like in a car service or like a bit like a Land Rover kind of like.
You know, like a beautiful exotic Land Rover.
Yeah. And into like driving into the jungle to his like palatial estate.
Yes. Which actually ends up being the retreat.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And he's one of Samantha's partners and didn't know the overlap. He just had gone to the retreat because he co-owns that space.
Like,
I think he's like a big developer, but he's very like woo-woo. Like, you know, he does all this like big time business stuff, but he also likes to ground himself and go to these different things. So he's a tech billionaire.
He's basically Jeff Bezos, but really hot.
He's extremely good looking. He's got it all. He's got it all. And he also doesn't have a huge ego, but he's got a huge something else.
Huge dick.
He's got a long hair. Big penis and long hair.
Great eyes.
Yeah.
And also, cares about giving back and is like, what's your passion?
Yeah, he smells like patchouli and like cedar wood. And he's just, yeah, but he really cares about the other. Yeah. The one thing that Carrie was searching for. So little did she know he was, you know, feeding her into the eye of the beast.
Yeah. So they're entering there. So Charlotte and Miranda, like, are we going to get, do they need to also come to the retreat? Like, do we need a big reunion?
I think there's going to have to be a reunion. So, so I'm not sure. Maybe Carrie's not actually at the retreat. She's like at his bungalow and he keeps talking about this thing he wants to bring her to. That's like really special. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's like, make yourself comfortable. She has her own like wing of his, like, I feel like his house doesn't even have walls. Like, and it's just very like.
Totally. It's all open air. And like Carrie's like running her finger along, like it's like gorgeous marble. And then she stops at like this calendar and she's like, and she has this like kind of like nostalgic moment. She's like, oh my God, Samantha's birthday. It's in a few days. She just has this like rush of, she feels old New York again, but all the good stuff. It's like only the good stuff that she can remember at this point.
Maybe we get her like into her memories and we see a montage of like past birthdays, never before seen birthday celebrations that the girls had with Samantha.
Love that. Love that. They're giggling. They're dancing. They're wearing fantastic outfits. They're out for phenomenal meals. But really what you're seeing is them just connecting. It's not about all the glitz stuff. It's about they just really speak the same language, these people.
Yeah. And it's going to be Samantha's 65th. So maybe that's a good reason for her to also fly her dear, dear friends, Miranda and Charlotte. And their whole families out for like one of the first celebrations like post COVID where everyone can really get together.
Yep. And I mean, the Kardashians did it. It's like they're on a very small island and it's very, you know, and everyone got tested. So they feel like they're in the clear. And everyone's been so safe otherwise. This is the first adventure they've all done.
Yeah. And so we see also like Charlotte and Miranda, like their travel journey, like getting ready. They're boarding the private jet that Samantha sent for them.
Oh, and they're having a ball. They haven't been spoiled. It's royal spoil. They're having so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And the girl, like all the quads are lined up. They're so cute.
Oh, they're adorable. Yep. They've got sunscreen on their nose. Lily and Rose are there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Looking beautiful. Brady's there. He's so hot. And like he and Miranda are going over like last minute stuff before the election, which is like going to be right when she gets back.
Yep. Right. That's true. This is a pressure cooker. This is a pressure cooker time for Miranda. But they all know. I mean, that's what's so great about them as friends is they know they have to put it all aside to celebrate their friend for a few days. You know, but you know, while they're on the plane, something comes up. They're like sitting and they're and Charlotte's looking off and Miranda's like, what's going on? She's like, it's nothing. And Miranda's like, no. And she's like, I don't know. Do you ever just think about Carrie? Like, there is some part of them that really misses her. They love her. There were so many great qualities about Carrie. So and she's like, forget it. And she's like, no, I miss her, too. And they had this sort of moment.
Yeah, because now she's also been brought back into their consciousness with the release of Samantha's book. And they're really all thinking about her again.
Yep.
And they're like, and they also maybe don't know how to like bring it up to Samantha because it is such a sensitive subject.
It's touchy. And the one time they did, she kind of shut it down, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And maybe like Mary, one of the quadruplets is like, who's Carrie? And she's like, just a friend of mommy's from long ago, darling.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe on the plane ride, they like let themselves have this sort of guilty pleasure moment of like reliving some of those memories with the kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see like a really fun scene of them all like giggling and like it's kind of like how Carrie had just relived her youth. You see them reliving their youth, too.
Yeah. And Lily remembers Carrie very well.
Yeah.
And so does Brady. So they're, I guess, kind of talking to this younger generation and saying like their memories. And everyone's kind of remembering like we did have some good times with this person. Like she wasn't just like selfish all the time.
Totally. And you also realize that like, you know, the culture that can, the cancel culture that can happen when it's like everyone against one person, how it's like you guys can all feed these negative stories. And it's like it doesn't undermine all the validity to what they were saying, but they are realizing that there was good stuff there.
Yeah. And so they're just in a very thoughtful place when they land in Bali and like make their way to Samantha's retreat.
Totally. Of course, Samantha's like getting ready for her birthday. And like, no matter what, even though she's a lot of humility and like one with the universe, she still loves to throw a big birthday party.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a massive celebration. Because also it's her 65th. It's a big, and she has so much to celebrate.
Totally.
And so we see kind of like party planners coming in. Tents are getting put up.
A lot
like
of headpieces.
Flowers.
Yeah.
So many headpieces and women, like women on walkie-talkies.
Totally.
And orchids everywhere.
Oh, it's stunning.
Yeah. And is that the moment that we see like Jared Leto, like he and Samantha meet and talk, like are pictured together, and we realize like, oh, he's like connected to her?
I think so. I think maybe he came to drop off her birthday present or something and to say like, I have a friend I want you to meet. Because Jared Leto, I mean, because this character, who should we call him? Maybe Piper. It's a weird name. That feels like a kid of Charlotte's. His name should be like Suarez or like...
Yeah, it's like Raja or something.
Raja,
like that.
I like Raja.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just not. I mean, not everybody would have followed their friendship all this time. He's just been like coming to these events to learn, but he's not in on the gossip and the drama. So
no, he doesn't know about like writers and like a fashion writer in New York is like not really on his radar.
You know, like those type of people that are like breathwork instructors that like every week have a new incredible friend group to introduce you to. So he's that kind of person. He just like collects relationships and great people. And so he's like, I can't wait for you two to meet. Like, I really feel like you guys will connect. This person came into my life. It feels kismet. And so Samantha's like, great, like bring her along to the party, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I love this.
Yeah.
So the party is starting. We see we see a lot of celebrities arrive. I think this is where we get
totally,
like
a lot of cameos.
Like, a lot of cameos in this moment.
This is where a lot of the budget went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just like cameos for like a one line kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Oh, Samantha, air kiss.
Exactly.
And like,
hi, Christina Applegate. Hi.
Yeah. Christina Applegate, Naomi Campbell's
Venus
there.
Venus Williams.
Of, like fashion. Yeah. Venus Williams for sure. Marc Jacobs.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of fashion.
Yeah. And I think, do we see, is it like Raja and Carrie are in the car, like on their way there, and Carrie's
like getting, you know, she's like, I'm nervous. Okay. So Carrie's like putting on her earrings. And also this is the first time she's gotten like dolled up in a minute, you know? And so we see her kind of like giddy, like a kid. And she's like, I'm nervous. I haven't been around people in a while. And he's like, they're going to love you. And she's like, what was your friend's name again? I want to wish them a happy birthday when I get there. And he's like, Samantha. And then it's like, you know, and she's like, huh? And so like, maybe she doesn't know all the way yet, but like she has a clue.
Yeah. And she's now like really terrified because she hasn't seen any of these people.
Any of these people
in years.
So she, maybe she makes it. She's
like hated.
She's like, I gotta go back to the, and you know, she's trying to stall, delay. I just realized I left. And he's like, oh, I'll get you a new shawl. Samantha's got plenty. She's in PR. So the more he's like, she's got a gorgeous closet. The more he's saying, the more she's like, oh my God, I know who this is. And she's like, oh, I gotta. And then they arrive. They're there. So it's too late.
It's too late. And now she's basically crashing Samantha's like beautiful birthday party.
Yep.
And does she try and like hide her face?
I think so. I think they give you these like beautiful banana leaf fans because it is hot this time of year in Bali. Mm-hmm. So I think we see a lot of her like, excuse me, sorry. And so she's like, you know, the ice sculpture, she's behind that. And the banana leaf, she's behind that. And so she's really just trying to blend as much as she can.
We get a lot of physical comedy, which Sarah Jessica Parker's great at.
It's very fun. Like, we're getting a lot of like Carol Burnett
ducking.
Vibes here. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's so small that she, a lot of squealing. Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just very squirrely, like always kind of every corner she turns. It's like Miranda's there with Brady and then she's like, ooh, and then
exactly.
Like Charlotte's there with someone else. And so she has like a lot of like hiding and sneaking around.
Yeah. And but then, you know, Charlotte's got so many kids. It's inevitable that one of the kids was going to. So she's hiding in the coat closet behind a bunch of coats, which is kind of a callback to when she was like hooking up with that guy in the coat closet in one of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kids, Randy, makes eyes from across the party, and Carrie's going, shh, you know, she's signaling for her to be quiet. And the girl's like, mommy, mommy, and tugs. And Carrie's like, be quiet. And so Carrie, she gets away from that. But it's like, it's about to happen. Things are about to implode.
Yeah, any second now.
Any second. Yep.
And maybe everyone gathers for a toast to Samantha. And like, it's very quiet.
Yep.
And as like maybe Raja is giving like a speech or there's like a couple speeches that are happening. And while it's quiet, Carrie like trips over something or knocks the ice sculpture down. And the whole ice sculpture of Samantha.
I was thinking when she trips, she hits a switch and it turns out the backstage area is rotating and it rotates her out. And she looks like roadkill, like in that episode where she's on the runway and everything. Mm-hmm. There's like shattered stuff everywhere. China, ice sculptures. And she's like, oh, sorry. And they all and they see her spotlight on her.
Mm-hmm. And everyone gasps.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think at that moment, Samantha's like you see Miranda go like, Carrie? And then Charlotte's like,
and Charlotte's like, then, Carrie, you know, and she knows she shouldn't be
excited.
She's
happier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because even her daughter, one of her daughters might be like, mama, is that Carrie? And Charlotte, like right when she's going to look over, but Carrie is gone. And so she's just like, no, totally. Sweetie, Carrie's in New York. We don't know where Carrie is or something like that.
Yep.
And so everyone sees her and then Samantha is pissed.
Oh, well, also this was her big entrance.
Yeah,
so it's like
this is her night.
Once again, Carrie's stolen the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she throws up her hand. She's like, I couldn't just have this one thing, you know? Like,
yeah. She's excuse me, I need to take a brief break and, so like, walks off.
Walks off, linens following her, a train that's
she's
20
barefoot,
feet long.
Yeah.
Bare feet. Mm-hmm. And Carrie's like, you know, peels herself up and she's like, sorry, and everyone's whispering. And there's Dana again. She's there watching her. Carrie. And it's just a lot of those kind of looks.
Yeah.
And so she's, she kind of like meekly follows Samantha out to this like beautiful overlook area. The what's it called? Like the balcony.
The balcony, yeah. And so do they have like a face off moment where they're Samantha's like, I can't believe you're here, but I'm also can't say I'm surprised because you always manage to show up at the most inopportune moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think she's expecting Carrie to fight back. And Carrie's like, I know. And you know, and Samantha, and then she keeps kind of berating her. She's like, classic Carrie. And then she's realizing that they're not having their usual tennis match back and forth because Carrie can't deny any of these things. And then she's like, I saw your little story or whatever. And you know, and then Carrie just has like this really, really earnest monologue where she's like, I don't expect anything. You know, maybe initially like there were some selfish motives behind me starting this quest that you had set out in your book. But like after time, it just like helped me and I'm sorry, you know, and like Samantha doesn't know what to say. And
yeah. And she's like, even you've been such a good friend to me and I took that for granted and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And even when we weren't friends, you were still the best friend to me that you could possibly be because I had your book and I followed what you were saying and you gave me so much and I just want to say thank you.
Yes.
And I honestly didn't know that this was your party. I swear. And like, I didn't plan anything. Like sometimes I'm just clumsy.
And Samantha can't.
Like, you are.
She's like, you are honey. Yeah. Not, you know, finesse was never your strong suit or whatever. And the other girls are watching from far away and they so badly
you see them
over.
Kind
and
of in the
Samantha
like,
goes,
in the
okay,
back,
oh God, come over here. So they all reunite and it is just like sort of this beautiful unspoken moment where they all just like take each other in and Carrie's like, I'm sorry. And, you know, she doesn't even have her heels on. So she's just like a munchkin around.
So tiny. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, like, and they're all wearing their gorgeous outfits and heels because Carrie didn't have time to put her heels on. She looks up and she's like, I'm sorry. And they embrace and they all take each other in.
This is beautiful.
It is.
It's a healing. It's a truly healing moment.
It's a healing moment. And they're able to put it all aside. But it took time and boundaries.
Yeah, it did. And I also think, kind of in, to tie in like the Raja of it all, maybe Carrie like renounced sex after Big died. So she's actually been celibate for 2.5 years.
Totally.
And so she's that's not something using that she talks about with Raja, and like a huge reason why like they are kind of flirty with each other, but she's just like not in a place
where
she could even give of herself to like another person in that way.
Right.
Like she has to be.
Yeah. She has a lot of growth. She has a lot of grieving and growth to do. And even when the girls are all chatting and they're like, how's Big? You know, Carrie's like, he died. And then, you know, she's like, how's Steve? And she's like, he died. And then they're like, really? Like, there's just a lot to unpack together, you know? And I think after they have their kind of makeup moment, Raja asks Carrie to dance. And she's like, you know what? I'm not ready. And it's like this really moment where it's like, oh, she's, you know what? She's not going to take the romance route. She can't right now.
Mm-hmm.
She can't.
She's going to be like about her girls and getting to know them.
And she
she's
dances like, with them instead.
My dance card's full. And she dances. Yes. She has to dance with all her friends, but then all her friends kid. So it's like her dance card really is full.
Yes. So it's her and it's fine to be real. And all the and everyone's and then you know and the kids and Brady and they're all dancing and they're doing the like the silly little like hold the nose
and you see like a drone shot kind of like it starts in but then it goes out and you just see like this beautiful party in like the Bali jungles
gorgeous.
Like popping off and like the music is kind of going into the night and it's like starry, beautiful starry night, like so clear.
Yep.
And
then there's like a caption over the screen that's like, for the friendships everywhere, the timeless ones worth fighting for.
Oh, I love it. I have chills.
Oh. And then it's like,
and
you
I
know,
think, yeah. And during the credits, we get a little bit of like follow up of these stories that we implemented. Like we see Charlotte, like school, like her school is just like, like she started more schools in New York and in all these like other cities.
Oh, and Harry's so supportive. He's just like the most supportive.
So supportive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we see like the four quadruplets like sitting together having like a tea party and gabbing.
Yep.
And they're like literally dressed like the their personalities are literally the personalities of Miranda, Charlotte, Samantha, and Carrie.
Yes. Yes. Love
Pamantha,
that. Pamantha.
They're also we see them talking and actually like Pamantha makes like a really like droll statement and then like Mary goes, "Oh, Pamantha." And
yes, totally. And it's like it's the future before our very eyes and they're all in a little circle. They have their little like fake tea set with their little plastic scones. And Miranda's just one city council and they're all supporting her and she's like cutting some ribbon or whatever. She's like, you know, like, and now let's start the 5K for lupus or whatever. And like,
or maybe she's unveiling one of Charlotte's schools.
I love that. They're partnering together. That's great. And Samantha's like, don't worry.
And Samantha's in town. Public school like program. Yeah. Samantha's
like,
in
don't
town.
Don't worry, honey. I'm doing the PR on this thing, you know? And so she's, so they've got a big, and then you see a newspaper slashed down. It's in the Times that, you know, new school opening, partnering with. And Carrie
is pregnant, I think.
Carrie's pregnant with Raja because enough time's gone by that it actually makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we see her and like, and she says something like, and for me, I was expecting the most unexpected.
Yes.
And like, we see her and Raja, like she's beautiful, like she's like 9 months pregnant or whatever.
But it still looks like a raisin because she's so petite.
Yeah,
because
she's so small.
Yeah.
And we just see them, maybe they're like taking a walk or they're sitting on a bench or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like drinking a tea.
And he grabs her hand and he's like, what do you think we should name it? And she goes, Samantha. And he goes, it's a boy. She goes, then Sam.
Sam. And he's like, I love that.
Yeah.
And they kiss. And I think that also leaves a lot of room for a sequel.
There's so much sequel potential.
Movie.
Immediately credits say executive produced by Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall. So you know that clearly and screenplay by both of them. So this was this life imitating art. This was them having this real reconciliation and they did it through the art.
It's a healing journey, like, for literally everyone involved is like a better person after making this movie.
Yep.
And then the audience are all healed just from watching this movie.
Totally.
And it actually is like a beautiful movie, just like celebrating female friendship and late in life pregnancies and the laughter of children and the importance of love. And it brings everyone together.
Yep. And that, like, you know, if it's meant to be, like, the friendships will come back around. But, like, you have to do the work to sustain them.
Mm-hmm. Huge, important
Which I think there's so many movies about romance and there's not as many movies about fighting for friendship. And I feel like so much of the thread in the Sex and the City show, which I feel like you're seeing a lot more now of, is, like, I want to follow the dynamics of, like, toxic friendships between females. You know, like, to me, that feels just as important and applicable to my own life as, like, a love interest, and feels like a breakup when you lose someone, you know?
Totally. And especially with these women who it's like you've grown up with, seeing them as friends, and like, there will be bumps in the road, as there just are in life.
Totally. Exactly.
God, I love this. I love this film.
Me too. And critics are loving it too. And they're saying, yeah, like,
it's feel good. It's like feel truly good. Feel good on every level. But also, it's not like just escapism, because there is some, there are dark moments.
Absolutely. I mean, the suicide scene with Big is a really powerful scene. Harrowing. And we had Thomas Newman score that. So it's like the same as the Green Mile soundtrack. So it's very, very powerful scene.
Really intense. Yeah. And like, and I think a lot of the think pieces and articles are like, life imitates art, imitates life. And like, you, and we have these beautiful photo shoots with all the girls, but especially with SJP and Kim. And it's like, it's just a beautiful kind of.
And they don't want any of it to be doctored. So they're all like beautiful photos of them just like gracefully aging and looking stunning and like celebrating who they are and how old they are.
Yeah, it's like a Mario Testino black and white, like,
yes,
just like portraits of them.
Stunning. Like some like nude makeup, just very simple, like, you know, hair maybe shellacked down, and they're just like straight on, just very powerful power stance. Yeah.
Yeah, they get real and raw, and they talk about like exactly what went down during the making of Sex and the City. That they're so transparent about both of their roles, and like, it really moves things forward of like just how to deal with like business hurdles as a woman.
And they're holding hands in a lot of the interviews, and it feels really genuine and authentic, and it's just like really cool to see them sort of healing through this process with us, because we felt so connected to their kinship, and like, their breakup was really hard for us as well. I mean, it shouldn't be, but we all feel like we have ownership over
it. It was
intense. It was intense, and so it's really, really nice to see them like on good footing again.
Yeah, and to not have like a to not have these like salacious stories perpetuating like drama between them,
exactly,
and pitting them against each other.
This like is a real catalyst for the media and the news to sort of celebrate more things like this. So like, we're less becoming pariahs for like, you know, over sexualizing pop stars and wanting to follow someone's rehab journey, and rather we want to follow amicable divorces and what they did to create healthy boundaries with their kids, and we're following, you know, friendships rekindling after a decade apart. And so that's kind of what the paparazzi becomes as a result of this movie. It's like this beautiful domino effect.
Yeah, a cultural shift, if you will.
Exactly.
What should we call this movie?
Underneath It All?
I love that.
I just feel like we should bring
Underneath It All
back.
Yeah, that was a powerful title.
Underneath Me. It could be so, it could mean so many
Samantha
things.
Jones. Yeah. Means something different for everybody that reads it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
God, Hannah, thank you so much. Like, I feel lighter and brighter after going on this journey with you.
I feel like I got to live a lot of maybe what I've wanted to do on my own. I've been thinking about a silent retreat.
I would love nothing more than a silent retreat.
Right?
Doesn't that sound really amazing?
Just don't want to hear my own voice for like a week.
Yeah, there's one in Joshua Tree actually that I looked into, and it truly is like, you can't speak or make eye contact with anyone. You can't write anything. You can't read anything. So you literally are just like a silent for 10 days. That might be a little too long for me. I thought like you could read and write, but you just can't talk.
That sounds like being on The Bachelor. Like, they're like, you can't read the paper and you can only read what's on these cue cards. That I think like 5 days would be a good cap for me.
Yeah. 10 days is like really, really pushing it.
I wonder what would come of that though.
No, right. I guess you meditate for hours at a time as well. Jeez. And I think you might be able to have talking breaks to talk to like the counselors in the program.
Okay. Because I bet a lot comes up. Like I was going to say, mm-hmm. It's like you probably have a lot of trauma and things come up. And then you're like, well, time to sit with my thoughts for 7 more days. Like,
yeah, because I'll just shove this down and hope that it goes away.
Wow. Well, I should look in. If it's affordable enough, I would consider it.
Yeah, I think that it like they might even have like sponsorship opportunities or something, really? Or like ways to make it affordable. Because I was looking into it too. Because I'm like so this. I just a silent retreat really sounds like
I'm like, should we go on a silent retreat together? But that'll be even more of a tease because like we can't talk or look at each
literally
other.
Can't even look at each other.
But let's go in the same car to get there.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Hannah Pilkes, P-I-L-K-E-S, and TikTok, of course. And then I have a podcast, Dance Magic Dance, that you'll have to be on. It's like a fantasy comedy podcast that you can find on all the podcast platforms.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much for being on this pod.
I had a ball.
And same. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.